Good afternoon, Wisconsin. Welcome to WFHR's Playmakers. Let's start the show. Hope y'all are having a great Wednesday afternoon out there. Thank you so much for joining us. Your host, James, with you, and I am joined by our newly crowned sports director, Michael Comer.
Very happy to be here, and that still doesn't sound right.
Yeah. Takes a little getting used to.
Yeah, it does.
I still, my dad will tease me, calling me PD or something like that. And I'm like, that's a nickname of all the nicknames he gave me. That was one I wasn't familiar with. We appreciate you being here, everybody. We're going to get into some fun today. We want to thank our friends over at Quality Plus Printing, Family Natural Foods, sponsoring this hour, giving us a chance to hang out with all of you. Call up and join the conversation. We're wide open. Hit us in the numbers, 715-424-2600. You can, of course, use the Civic Media app if you'd rather text in. That is fine. Whatever you got to do to get us those sports takes and feelings, you don't want to keep them inside. That's all we ask. Don't keep that stuff bottled up.
You'll explode.
Yes, let it out. Let it out. We'd love to hear from you. Also looking forward to getting into some fun things with Michael today. We got baseball talk to do, of course. I want to get into a little bit of college football, some NFL draft news, even get in the NBA playoffs if we have time, Michael. But I want to get your takes and everything that you got, too, because you just got done doing some work last night.
Yeah, definitely. There's plenty of high school sports for me to talk about, man.
Yeah, let's go right into that.
All right, well, I guess though I'm not going to the game that I was at away. I've been doing sports journalism, the high school realm, some college here and there, for about almost 20 years now.
Mm-hmm.
And for the first time in my 20 years of the schools that I report on, I have now witnessed in the stats, one of them I watched personally, back-to-back no-hitters.
Man.
Nakusa softball did it on Monday and Tuesday. They won 11-0 over Athens on Monday. No-hitter by Jackie Bedell. And then on Tuesday, it was Reagan Wilhorn. She threw a no-hitter in four innings against Mauston when they got that run rule victory. On both games were run rule victories. So a no-hitter, back-to-back days, both pitchers. I'm impressed.
It's incredible. It's something you don't get to. It may never happen again to you as a broadcaster. So that is really cool. That is really unique. I want to touch on that for just a second, and then we'll get into the actual athletes and stuff.
Yeah. I am proud of Nakusa for that.
Yeah, and we'll get in right into it in a second. But for an announcer to be in that spot, to be able to do something like that, you know, you do a great job. You, Randy, all of our announcers are walking the line. You're not rooting for one side or the other. You're just rooting for the game and covering the
game. I want to see a good game.
Yeah, but you've got to, I can't imagine, you can't help but be a little nervous for that athlete out there, just with everything on the line. As an athlete, as a former, you know, I don't know why we say former athletes. You're always an athlete. Your body may not be, but you and your mind and your heart, you're always an athlete.
Oh yeah, I mean it's. I look at me. I mean, I'm not. I like to think I'm still fairly athletic. No, I'm not. I'll tell you what. You know, watching the River Kings, you know, you start getting to that about 3 minute left in the game and it's a shutout, you start getting a little nervous for the goalies. And then watching the pitchers last night and you know, that game on Monday against Athens, his first inning she gave up a walk. And I forgot about that, and I'm watching that, and we're getting to the fifth inning, and I'm thinking, I think she's got a perfect game going. I've maybe only seen two.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And one of them was Ava Schill from Assumption just the other year ago, who plays at UWGB now, Division One. And I'm watching that, and I'm thinking, well, then one of the defensive players kicks the ball a little bit, so an error. And I'm like, oh, well, there goes a perfect game. And I said, but that means that it's still a no-hitter.
Mm-hmm.
So I looked through the app on my phone that, I wish every team used that app.
Yeah.
Don't want to give them a shameless plug, but it's a nice, easy one for me to follow, and it's got to be pretty simple for me to follow. And I'm looking at them like, well, she gave up a walk. There's air. There's nothing in that H column. Mm-hmm. And I said, well, let's see. And then boom, 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 struck him out, struck out the side, and that was it. So I'm like, this is awesome. So I got to talk to coaches about it. I wasn't able to talk to her because she left right away. So I'm like, you can't do that to me, kid.
Yeah,
But I did. The coolest thing about that one, though, is her grandfather lives right across the street from me.
Mm.
And down the street from where I live, local watering hole, her I think it was her cousin, cousin or aunt, was bartending. And I said, hey, wait a minute here, Tara. Wait a minute. You are, you know, any way you could talk to her mom to get me a phone call here? So went to the back room and wrote down on post-it notes what she said and included in my game story, and there you have it.
That is reporting. That is journalism, baby. That is awesome.
There's been several times where, like when Tanner Gormanson, for example, won the state championship heavyweight wrestling this year, I obviously was not down in Madison. I had to be up here for the River Kings, but I texted Scott Bennett and said, hey, when you and Tanner have a moment, do you want to give me a call? And yeah. And this was after the River Kings game. And I was at that same watering hole to be before going home. And because I get better reception there, which is not an excuse. Nah. It's honest to God.
Yeah, right.
And went into the back room there and talked on the phone, wrote down everything I could. And from there. So, I mean, it's when you got a job to do, you got to do it. And I was just fortunate to be able to do that in those couple instances.
This is why you're in that spot, man. And we appreciate the work that you're doing. Yeah,
I appreciate you guys. So.
When you vouch for somebody, for me, I've never vouched for anybody that was difficult for me. Because if I'm doing that, I'm 100%.
I'm
100% on somebody. Yep. So it was nothing for me to do. I see what everybody else is seeing right now. Real quick, I want to get to the athletes, the players, the games. But the farther I get away from it, the more I think my favorite baseball game I've seen is Mark Burley's perfect game.
Ooh, and that'd be good. And
in part, because it was on accident. I was at home when I was supposed to be working, and they canceled work that day. They closed down the hotel, so we weren't able to work. And I'm just happy to be home. I'm cleaning around the house, and I'm in DeKalb, so I'm only there for a couple of months at the time, and I remember, oh yeah, I got WGN now. I could pull up the Sox game if I want. And Mark Burley's pitching, my favorite pitcher. Oh, this is awesome. And I got nothing done the rest of the afternoon. I was locked into that game. It was raining. I can almost remember every single pitch. There's something about a perfect game, at least to our generation still. I don't know if the younger generations is going to be this much. But
if it even happens.
Yeah. So for them in this game, these two back-to-back games that you just covered and everything, obviously the no-hitters stand out. But as far as the overall games and what we can tell from this early on in the season, what are your thoughts?
You know, if we want to go softball, I would say Nakusa's going to challenge for that conference title in the South Central Conference. They got two pitchers. They got some pretty good bats. They got kids that really want to be there. And that's a huge thing. Port Edwards, they're young, and it's just a different transition now. It's a new coach. That it may be a little bit tougher of a season, but they are getting better just like everybody else. Lincoln, they have just lost one game. Then that was to Everest, and they had the winning run at the plate. So they're not too far behind Everest. And then Assumption, they're getting better. They are getting better. And sure, they split this week with Auburndale, and they came up shy last night. But they're going to be really dangerous when it matters most. Yeah. And that's, they got thumped by Pacelli, but, you know, that's the thing. Those girls are getting better each time, and I've seen them through several games this year. They're going to be getting better. Soccer-wise, Assumption's going to be tough again in Division 4. Rapids is getting better. They're getting some players back from injury and some other choices in life. And then, baseball, Nakusa's another fun one to watch. They've been close in almost every game. They beat Athens 5-3 the other night. They actually took the game to Pittsville in their first game. They were up 5-0 at one point. They ended up losing 8-5. And then last night they played Black River Falls and they lost by a run. So they're getting there. Port, they're young. They got some pretty good senior leadership, but they're young. And then Rapids, for me, they're a little tough to tell yet. It's a new coach after 30 years. They are winning games. They're losing some games too, but they're competitive in almost all of them. And then of course, Assumption baseball, they can hit the ball.
Yeah.
My goodness, it's just a matter of if they have enough pitching to get through to it. And people can say, well, what are you talking about? They just got their lunch handed to them by Auburn the last 2 days. Auburndale's really good.
Yeah.
And you can see what I mean, they had one blowout game against Spencer, but then they should have beat Spencer in the second game.
It's early, but they're one of the top teams. And,
yeah, Spencer's good. I mean, they just beat Pittsville, and Pittsville's supposed to be one of the favorites in Division Four. Yeah. So it's early yet. Any given day in baseball, softball, you name it, any given day, and that's what makes it so much fun. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, track. I'm not selling anybody else short on any of that, but Bella Thomas from Assumption, she is looking to maybe go three straight in the 100, and maybe two in a row in the 2, and I think she didn't say it in so many words last year when I talked to her, but I think she wants to sweep the sprints, so that's the 100, the 200, and the 400. They are going to be tough in the long distance races, as in the 8, the 16, and the 32, between Lucy Dolan and Brooklyn Shanick. They are going to be tough running, and then some of the relays, if they can get some of them in there. Assumption girls. A few years ago, I remember that there was one girl from Nakusa that maxed out in five events. She single-handedly took second. She was the second, the number two team, the runner-up state team in Division Two. She was at state, she scored that many points. So that's why I'm thinking if they can get a couple of those relays and maybe one field event, Assumption could win a state title in girls track.
I'd love to see that. They got some athletes over there.
Oh, they do.
And getting that triple crown in track, if you will, was something as a kid I used to dream about. I don't know. It's one of the coolest things in the sport, really, being able to pull off one of those, let alone all of them, or and even two of them. And
yep.
We'll be following it. Michael, before we go, move on to some MLB talk.
You got it.
We got our new newsletter coming out, a new edition tomorrow at noon. Be sure to sign up for it at WFHR.com. Michael's got some reporting in there. Can you preview or give a tease of what you got in there?
Well, there's obviously the softball no-hitters back-to-back. That wasn't actually what I was going to lead with. What I was leading
had
with
to
was...
rewrite your article.
Yeah, and I'm going to finish that tonight and try to get it to Melissa as early as I can so I don't forget about it. touch base on the no-hitter, that pair of no-hitters. Looking at, I was going to mention the NBA playoffs. Playoffs? Because the Bucks and the Pacers, you never know.
It's an interesting series, especially this is part three.
Yes.
You know, that we got the original a couple years ago, then we got the sequel, now I believe we got the third, the trifecta.
Let's see. There's a couple other ideas I had out there, but I know there's some DNR questions, the questionnaires there. I've got rants on all of those too. Mm-hmm. Well, some of them, not all of them, but
I look forward to reading it, and you can read it too at just signing up at WFHR.com. Everybody, be sure to go do that. Before we go to break, just touching on a little bit of Brewers news. Brewers won today 5-1. If you did not see, noteworthy in part because I believe just want to double check who got the W here. I believe Jose Quintana did.
Yep,
Quintana 2-0 on the season for Jose Quintana, man. Just interesting and cool to see some of these guys that can hang in there and stay, even if they're not the great that they were or anything like that. Seeing them be able to give you 5-6 innings or something like that. He gave 5.5, man. I mean, that's impressive. That's at his age and everything and what he has been through as far as injuries and surgeries and everything.
Quintana, he's one that I think... he was in St. Louis not that long ago, if I remember right. Mm-hmm. And I remember when St. Louis brought him in, had a bunch of friends up here saying, oh, they're going after the old guys that can't play anymore, blah, 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 blah. And they signed him. And I said, hey, remember a year or two ago, you know, signing guys that's so old and beat up and can't play anymore? What are you doing? Shut up.
Exactly. And Brewers have called up Logan Henderson to help their riddled staff. Henderson is a nice prospect. It'll be good to see him get some playing time, see how he does. And I believe that they're playing Detroit. They're playing Detroit right now.
I think that game's over.
Yeah. He'll be okay. Colorado or Washington he'll be facing. So they don't have him in the rotation exactly yet.
But. I want to say that the A's are coming up to town now.
Okay.
So maybe it could be Sunday. It could be maybe Sunday against the A's. I don't know.
Before we go to our first break, we're getting ready for it here and everything. I did want to have a couple other baseball things. One of them I wanted to touch on with you in part. Did you get to see, as busy as you've been and everything, your Fetty for the Cardinals?
Yeah.
That play he had last night?
Yeah, I didn't see it from last night.
It was wicked.
I was mentally preoccupied with A, softball, and B, I went turkey hunting, man. Mm-hmm. And so I've had other things to worry about.
Much more. The day job comes first.
Yeah, but I did not see that.
It was a nice play.
I'm going to have, when I get a charge on the phone, I'll have to go back and look.
He, as a pitcher, you know, just did a nice move there. Yeah. You'll see it for yourself. But it did get me thinking, because of the angle of the camera shot, it's you see center field. Mm-hmm. You see right out to center field. And I started thinking about great Cardinal like outfielders and fielders in general, with Ozzie Smith and some of these
Lou
guys.
Brock, all them guys.
There aren't many teams that can compete with who has the best fielded defense of all time. Like, you're taking your all-time players of a team, and you can put together the best defensive team. Man, the Cardinals are up there best defenses.
You start right away with Yadier Molina behind the plate, but you've also got McCarver. He was pretty good, too, in his own right. But man, now, do they have to be full-time Cardinals, or just the fact they wore a Cardinal jersey?
Well, you know, I think if they just played, you know, I'm not going to be too much of a stickler. I like to have fun with these things.
Jim Edmonds in center field.
Yeah, yeah.
Scott Rowland, I think, over towards third.
Honestly, you know more about the Cardinals than I'll ever know, but had you not said Jim Edmonds in center field, we'd have gone to break.
Oh,
we'd go right to break.
Oh, I would have been fired. See you guys. Wait, not even a day in. Not even a full day in, I'm fired.
Everything we said earlier means nothing. No, go ahead.
Jimmy E. Yeah, Jimmy E. right there. I wish the young man would have not had that accident, passed away. I wish I would have seen Oscar Tavares and Wright. Some of these are just escaping me where they were at. But Pujols, because of the offense, you got to put him at first. Mm. But there's been some real Mark McGwire then too.
Oh, man.
Now, do you put McGwire at a DH?
Oh, my gosh. Yeah. Yeah. Well, you got to put them both in there. So, yeah, you might as well put. Actually, you know, I seem to remember, and this is him at the A's, but I seem to remember being McGwire not being bad at first as an A. I don't remember him as a Cardinal over there, but I seem to remember him being okay. But at the same time, I was, you know, three or whatever it was back then.
Right.
So who knows? You know, all those guys were great to me back then.
And then you know, I would say Molina center, and then first I'll go Albert, DH McGwire. Shortstop Ozzie, third would be Scott Rowland, center I want to say Jim Edmonds, and I'm spacing on some of these other guys. Yeah. I don't know why I'm spacing. Well, maybe it's because I've been up so long.
Ray Lankford.
Yes.
Ray Lankford, yep. In there, because I always thought he was good. I mean, yep. Never really got to put it together for a career.
Nope.
But especially, not only had moments, but had seasons that he was competitive. And one of the last two-sport guys, too. Forget about that. But,
yep.
He was
but
good.
Some of these other classic Cardinals, you got to have them ready to come up off the bench. Enos Slott. One,
yeah.
You know, country. You know, you got to go with him. Ducky Medwick, Rogers Hornsby. You got to go with all these other ones too that have their number.
My dad so happy mentioned
Stan
Roger
Usual.
Hornsberry.
Stan, I mean, you can't forget Stan the Man.
My God, yeah. What a franchise. And then there's me looking, you know, scraping through my Chicago White Sox history book, trying not to talk about the Black Sox.
Ozzie Guillen.
Oh yeah, that's my guy.
Yep,
Ozzie at short, no matter what.
Because he's a Southside guy.
Yes, he's got us a title. He got us a title before the Cubs. Got one.
Like that rap car commercial that they had with Lou Piniella, and I saw that. I'm a Northside guy. Yeah, I know, I could tell.
Oh my God, I remember that. Yeah. Oh, that's, you just brought such nostalgia to my face.
I'll tell you what, because when you have Lou Piniella rapping,
yeah, I mean,
that's quality, right? Well, maybe not quality, but you gotta watch it. It's like a train wreck.
Good luck to the marketing team trying to top that, you know, in their next run. Yeah, good luck.
Oh yeah, the car salesman's there. Oh, they better have made their millions.
We started something here that we're having some fun
God,
with you and I,
we?
Michael, about having a stat of the show and a story of the show. So I want to get into some of that. And first, for those that did not hear, yesterday would have been the anniversary of 1947, April 15th, Jackie Robinson made his debut. In that debut, he went 0-for-3. I think that might be a little bit well known. But his first hit came in the following game on April 17th. Some may not know that Jackie decided the deciding run in that game, though, for Brooklyn. So that was kind of cool. You know, had a .297 batting average that season, 29 stolen bases, led the National League in stolen bases, had a nice game. Now, I bring this up in part because of the noteworthiness of it, and certainly that we're so close to it in history. But I said something the other day when I was talking about Jackie Robinson of how my... I don't know if it's my favorite thing in sports, but it's a top three, top five favorite thing in sports is seeing a guy steal home plate. It's such a wicked, like, just incredibly, like, I can't think of many things. To me, that is more, like, if a guy stands there and looks at the pitcher after he does that, is much more bad, you know what, than a guy whipping the bat up and it never lands or anything like that. There's no home run to me that can compare to that, only because of the daringness of it and the just the belief in oneself to do something like that.
Yeah.
And I just kind of threw out there, and I really try to catch myself on these things because there's way too many people doing this stuff in sports nowadays of just hyperbole. And Jackie Robinson is one of the greatest home plate stealers ever and everything. And he was very good.
Yes.
But I went and just happened to look up at about 2 a.m. The Major League Baseball records for stealing home plate.
I was wondering where you're going with that.
And interestingly, a guy who I do mention quite a bit and everything is the all-time leader in this, Ty Cobb.
Oh, yeah.
I like to bring Ty Cobb up because I think Ty Cobb is one of the best examples for modern-day athletes. Ty Cobb is oftentimes thought of as the boogeyman of baseball and the bad guy and all these different things, and he sharpened his spikes and stuff. And
Enos Slaughter. I
mean. None of it is true. Not one bit of it was true. What happened to Ty Cobb was he was a great baseball player who was boring. He just wasn't that interesting of a guy. So you get sports writers back then, and a guy in particular who had some problems himself, gets an idea of making Ty Cobb into something he isn't, and starts making these stories and stories. And before you know it, especially in a day when there's no way to, you know, look it up and prove it and everything, Ty Cobb gets labeled as something for decades
that he wasn't.
Ty Cobb was one of the guys who was actually pushing for not just African Americans, but Native Americans and anybody that wanted to play baseball. They needed players back then, and Ty Cobb was like, well, we need players. I don't care who you are. Come and play.
Absolutely.
Really good guy. There's a great book about Ty Cobb. I always like to reference when this comes up, A Terrible Beauty. It's Charles Lee Shan did an amazing job. Did an amazing job on this book of actually talking to people that actually played with Ty Cobb, knew Ty Cobb, people that were on the other side of some of these stories, and they're like, no, Ty Cobb never, who's sharpening their you know, we got day jobs. Who's got the time to do these things that they were saying Ty Cobb was doing.
Right.
But it's just interesting to me, and I always like to reference that whenever I get a chance, because I feel like as a diehard baseball fan, I think I am, it's on us as lovers of this game to tell it correctly. And that's a guy who got mistreated throughout the human, you know, history of baseball here, and here he is. He's the all-time leader in the AL, I should say, with 50. Ooh. 50 career.
What are some of these other names?
You got Max Kari in there for the NL. Played for Pittsburgh and Brooklyn. Pete Reiser for Brooklyn. Bill Barrett for Chicago. Eddie Collins for Philly. And, of course, Shoeless Joe Jackson.
Yep, Shoeless Joe.
But did it for Chicago and Cleveland. So, yeah, just some interesting names in there. And I thought it was an interesting list of seeing these guys. And also seeing dates like, what is this, August 30th, 1907. just some of the stats when you look up baseball stuff. So that all was interesting to me. But before we go to break, I do want to get into our story of the show. And this one hits just, I don't know, all the feelings. And I'll be honest about that.
About a guy named
that.
Brady?
A little bit. A guy named Bryce. Bryce Harper is always bringing something different to the field and to the game, and he carried an interesting thing to the end of the night's game. So him and his wife are expecting, and they're, you know, gender reveals are a big deal and everything nowadays. And I honestly could take or leave that, but I also understand it's not even my generation, so I'm not even, you know, it's not for me.
Bryson Stott just had one the other week where he stepped up to his first at bat and had a pink armband on.
Nice.
Well, that was the gender reveal for some couple at the game.
Right on. So Bryce Harper, him and his wife have this set up. They have a pink bat and a blue bat, and he tells Trey Turner, one of his best friends, like, Trey finds out, and he's going to give one of the bats to Bryce, and that's how Bryce is going to find out. And he shows up to his first at bat the other day with a blue bat. So they're having a boy. Congratulations to them.
That's awesome.
And also want to say a shout out to Trey Trey Turner, because not only did Trey Turner, you know, do something like this, and it was a really cool moment and everything, but he messed with him hardcore, and you have to. I feel like you have to mess with him a little bit. Like, give him a black bat. Give him a green. Give him a green bat. Yes, exactly. Give him a metal bat. You know, one of those little toy bats. I don't know, something. You got to give him something
one.
Different.
Yeah.
Yes, yes. Trey Turner was messing with him. I love it. I love the story. That's a fun. These gender reveal things, I could take or leave them usually. Yeah. This one I thought was pretty
cool. That one's
cool.
Kind of cool.
And the one yours, I didn't hear about the one that you were
mentioning. I just saw that the other day, and I'm thinking, oh, attaboy, Bryson.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. And congratulations to all of them. Mazel tov. We'll take a time out. We'll come back. Michael and I are going to talk a little Raptors. We'll talk a little bit about Badgers. And, of course, the draft and NBA playoffs all coming up for you right here on Playmakers, which is proudly brought to you by Family Natural Foods and Quality Plus Printing. Welcome back, everybody. Playmakers at WFHR. Gotta wait for those keys. Oh, I can't get enough of nicely done. Playmakers back on your radio dial. Thanks for joining us, everybody. Shout out to Quality Post Printing and Family Natural Foods. Michael and James here with you. Going to do our favorite thing to do on the show, take your calls.
Yeah.
Good afternoon. You're in the game.
Good afternoon, guys, and congratulations, Michael, on your new position.
Thank you. I appreciate it, man. Yeah. Thank you.
Hey, and it's good to have you back, man. It's been a while.
Darn right.
Yeah. It's been a little bit. It's just trying to get through the few weeks here of work and trying to get a routine going. But
is it going good?
I mean, no, it's going really good. I mean,
good.
The brain hurts that a little bit at the end of the day because I'm trying to learn something completely different. But it's
every
we're
day
good,
for
but.
Me. Yes.
Yeah. Happens every day when I wake up.
Yeah, I hear you. Yeah. Anytime I try to learn something new, it's a. what's on your mind tonight, man?
Well, you guys kind of threw a lot there at this first half of the show.
Yeah, we did.
I want to go back a little bit on the high school end of it. I mean, I had an opportunity to play with some when I was in high school. Played on 3 years of fantastic baseball. I think we didn't lose maybe 6 games in the conference in the 3 years that my sophomore or senior year.
Ooh.
That's with the South Central, the old South Central, when he had Portage, Baraboo, Reedsburg.
Yep.
Oh, wow, yeah.
Omaha,
yep.
Sparta. Those,
yep.
When you had those, that was the conference. And my senior year, we didn't lose a conference. I mean, my junior, senior year, excuse me, we didn't lose a conference game. But on top of that, my junior, senior year, we played the Dells, and they maybe those 4 or 5 games that we played against them had a total of 2 hits.
Ooh. Man, that's brutal. Oh, man, is that wicked.
I mean,
you don't forget that stuff. Those are stats you don't forget.
No.
Yeah.
Right. You know, and then high school baseball and softball, I mean, the way they had the schedules, really, to have, if you have a couple, like, especially softball, if you have 2 really good starters, you should do fairly well, even to get into the state level, if they're really good pitchers. The baseball, if you have 3 really good, I mean, we had probably a staff of about 4 guys that, I mean, on any team would be starters, you know, and actually we had 2 guys, I mean, I actually had both from really good friends of mine. He got drafted in right out of high school, but he went and played football at Wisconsin until they dropped the baseball program, and then he ended up going down to Central Florida, and then he got drafted eventually by the Brewers.
Ooh.
But we had some pretty good teams back then. Like I said, we had 4 good pitchers, and then some of the underclassmen, they did pitch when we played the doubleheaders or things like that. But in high school, I mean, if you have the good pitching, I mean, that goes a long way. And like you said with Assumption, if their pitching shows up, they got enough bats to score runs.
Yep.
And if you can hold, the pitching can hold up. And where now, where the Brewers are, they're pitching struggling because of all the injuries. But, I mean, I think by the middle of May to the end of May, the pitching staff should be healthy. You're gonna get some of those guys back, and I think the Brewers are gonna be okay because they have shown, even though they've gotten blown out a few games, they show they can still score the runs too.
Right. I mean, who doesn't get blown out a couple times during the season? I mean, that doesn't mean anything.
We see plenty of teams make runs at the end of the season, but it's interesting in baseball, especially I'd say the last, almost 8 to 10 years. You almost know in the first month of the season. I'm not saying you know who's going to win,
right?
But you almost know, okay, these are playoff teams, these are not. Like last year with the Marlins trading Ariza, within 4 days into the season or whatever and stuff, where they're just, now that is an outlier because the Marlins are just the Marlins.
Yeah.
They either win a World Series or they're horrible. It's just what
they do. Between.
but with that, I agree with you about the health part of this. And I got Brandon Woodruff from my fantasy team. I'll admit that right away. I got him on there in part so I could actually keep up on him, because whether you believe it or not, one of the greatest ways to keep up on these athletes is doing fantasy sports.
You are right, man.
It's crazy. It's crazy how in depth the details and the reporting that's done. But Woodruff started Thursday. He's starting this Thursday in AAA, and I think this is his second or third outing. So you've got somebody like that in the bullpen that could be coming out. And even if you're getting 70% of Brandon Woodruff, that's better than 100% of most of these guys.
Yep.
I wouldn't. If I'm the Brewers, I'm certainly, concerned. I'm not worried. I think you've got good things to look forward to, especially getting healthy. Seeing, hey, it's early. Why not see what some of these guys like Logan and that can do?
Yeah.
Well, and you brought up, Henderson. They have him down as a starter for on Sunday against the A's.
Okay.
That's Major League debut will be on Sunday.
Good call, Michael.
I guessed, too.
I heard that something from Murph that, out of 17 games, you got blown out on four of them. He goes, that's a little concerning, but.
Yeah, I heard him say that.
Yeah.
So you get that butt in there, because some of these guys are still, especially in pitchers-wise, they really haven't been stretched out yet, because how many pitches did they throw really in spring training?
Right.
Yeah. Spring training, you know who you're going to have. It's just a matter of finding those fringe guys that you think might contribute. That's the beauty of it.
Kevin, anything else on your mind? I'm dying to talk NFL draft, so please tell me you're thinking about it. No.
I'm sort of thinking about it a little bit. The talk this last week was kind of a little bit of the tragedy that happened down at LSU that gentleman.
Heartbreaking. Heartbreaking on a lot of levels. There's a lot of depth on that one that I don't even know if in 3 hours a week we have enough time to get into and everything. I agree with you, though, and I appreciate you noting it. I got a quick question, and I hope I'm not cutting you off there, but when it comes to, and I have for Packer fans, because I couldn't imagine what it'd be like to have your team hosting the NFL draft, and they're good. I really can't even imagine what that's like. I've got a great imagination, and it's very difficult for me with the team that I root for. So it's hard to imagine that. And I thought there was a lot of fun excitement coming into this month.
Yeah,
and I feel like in the last couple of weeks, it's almost like the air's been taken out, and I'm not hearing it, I'm not feeling it as much, and that may be because there's baseball, there's other stuff going on,
the Bucks are
in the playoffs, there's other things, and there's only so much bandwidth you have. But the other part of it was that I was a little surprised by is the lack of, I don't want to say concern, but the lack of interest in fans in what the Packers are going to do. There's been some talk about them trading out of the first round. There's been no talk really of them moving up. And these are kind of usually talking points for fans.
Yeah.
So, for one, I think that this is just a credit to Packer fans, and I think that they're maybe the most rational I've ever seen Packer fans is this version of Packer fans right now.
Yeah.
So I think that there's a credit to that I want to have, that more sports fans need to have. But there's also a kind of, I'm also a little frustrated with it, because again, I'm living vicariously through, and for me, I'm like, come on guys, move up in the draft, let's do something, let's get a guy, let's go do something here. And I feel that way not every draft, and not just to do something, I hate the idea of doing something just for doing something's sake,
right?
But in this particular draft, we all understand. You ain't got to be Kuiper. You ain't got to be the pompadour to understand. There's a handful of thoroughbreds in this draft, and the rest are question marks. And if you are a team that is close, and you are a team that we've been saying for almost a year now, where are your playmakers? Get a playmaker. This is the way you get them. This is the way the Packers get their playmakers, is through the NFL draft. Outside of Reggie White and a couple of scenarios here or there, they get their all pros. The guys that are on the Packer Hall of Fame that are retired over there, 90% of them, I would almost guarantee, are drafted guys from that team. Get one of your guys. Especially when a couple of factors here. One, where you're picking in the draft, that guy ain't going to be there. You can go ahead and tell me all the scenarios you want and show me 20 different mock drafts. I'm telling you right now, that guy that you want is not going to be there. You're going to have to move up to get him. And where you're picking in the team that you have, if everything is going the way that it's supposed to, you're basically got a glorified second-round pick anyway. You're picking, if things go the way they should for the Green Bay Packers, they're picking no better than 30th. Yeah. And that's a good, that's a bad scenario almost for that team and the outcome and the expectations that that franchise should have. So get your guy. Go up and get a guy. Get a playmaker. Shut everybody up and go up there and do something. Get a guy, because you couldn't do it in free agency. You couldn't do it through trades. And now you're going into the season as, well, yeah, but look what we did that one year when everybody said we should have a playmaker. We made a run, nobody thought, and everything. What about this one year? You can't build on outliers. You can't build on just, well, it happened that one time. No, that one time was great, and you don't get in those situations without some luck and with some skill. But come on, you can't build a franchise on that. You can't just sit there and hope. You got to go work for it sometimes. And those draft picks that you're going to give up to move up to get that guy aren't going to mean nothing if it works out and you're picking and you're in the Super Bowl or you're winning the Super Bowl. It's a glorified second-round pick that you're paying first-round money for.
But what? But if it's one of those situations where it doesn't pan out in those picks that you gave up,
at least you tried. At least you tried. There is something to be said for doing your job. And your job is to make this team better. And the team isn't better, you stand in pat. There's nobody they're going to get at that number 18 pick the next day when we're talking about this on Playmakers, that Friday. There's nobody they can get if they stay in that spot that we're going to be, oh, this is a game changer. This is the guy. This is the guy that's going to change everything. No, there's going to be a guy who's going to be good, and he's going to have some great potential. And Packer fans should be excited about.
Oh, yeah. Because
who knows what can happen with him. But it ain't going to necessarily be the guy that's going to help you win today. And that the hourglass on Jordan Love has been running since before the kid even took a snap.
Yep.
It was running when Rodgers was taking the snaps.
Yep.
So you got to win in this window. And one thing you darn sure can't count on is another Jordan Love. You got lucky three times. Like, I mean, at a certain point, that well is going to dry up. Maybe. Well, maybe. I mean, I say that, but I guess I don't know. I mean, maybe the Packers for the rest of our lifetimes will have great quarterbacks. I
hope so.
The odds are in their favor.
One of the things that you know, they always talk about, you know, like we should have helped learn from the mistakes. Let's help Jordan more.
Yeah,
let's get these guys, you know, get out there and get these players, you know. And to me, and yeah, I think you kind of hit it on the head a little bit. I'm not excited about this draft because they didn't really do anything in free agency. And if you take a look at what you think you did last year, you brought two guys in. Look at the impact that those two guys made on this team. I'm sorry, you can't sit there and rely on Lucas Van Ness to be your man this year. You're hoping that year three is going to be his year. You can't hope on that.
Yeah,
you got to bring somebody in that's going to even push them even more.
I'm not saying that those things couldn't happen, that Luke Van Ness might not end up being an all-pro next year, that Romeo Doubs might not end up being an all-star, something like that. These things could happen, but you can't count on that. And you certainly, to your point, can't do it without any competition or without bringing in somebody. I keep bringing up DeAndre Hopkins because I think he'd be such a perfect fit for Jordan Love with his style of play. I know he's not in his prime anymore or anything. You don't need him in his prime.
No.
You need a leader in that locker room. Yep. You need a guy who's been there before and a guy who will lay down and do everything to get you 4 yards, let alone a first down or a touchdown. DeAndre Hopkins has proven that his whole career.
Yep, that's your man there.
Get you somebody like that that pulls somebody's number one, pulls their corner off or pulls a safety up or something like that and gives Josh Jacobs that much more lane or your tight ends more room or any of the above that Matt LaFleur knows a heck of a lot better than I ever will. Get those guys, though. Give them the pieces. because I don't know, I don't know how well I can judge Brett Favre or Favre's not exactly a better example here because they made some, they got Andre Rison, they got some guys for Favre,
Don Beebe, Andre Rison.
They brought in some free agents back then.
Yeah.
But Aaron Rodgers, as you were saying there, Kevin, it's I mean, one of the more famous things in his time here in Green Bay was they're not doing enough to help Rodgers. We're going to go through that all over again with this new kid with Jordan Love. If they don't do something. Now, I think you could already make an argument, well, that's over with. They got Josh Jacobs. But that's not doing your...
Not enough.
That's not enough. Agreed. It's not only not enough, it's not what we're talking about. That's a whole other part of the game. That's a whole other... It does help him, obviously.
Yes.
But we're talking about something that literally helps Jordan Love become a better quarterback. Get to that next level. Instead of throwing the pick at the end of the game, he's throwing the touchdown at the end of the game, or he's throwing it away,
yep,
or something like that. Yep. Receivers that make him smarter and better. That's something only veterans can do. It's nothing against young receivers. It's reps.
Yep.
You can only learn by this game by reps, like anything in life.
Oh, yeah. The more you do something, the better you're going to be.
I do like the Mecole Hardman thing.
Yes.
I obviously like that move, but I like that for the opposite reasons, because he's still at that prime age where he's got speed still, and injuries haven't taken some, and time, Father Time hasn't taken some of his speed. But as much as he's a veteran, and he's been there before, he's caught a Super Bowl winning touchdown.
Yeah, he's won, what, three?
Right. He's not the leader you need in that locker room, and nobody believes that he's going to make Jordan Love a smarter, better quarterback. Can he get better stats with Mecole Hardman? Sure. That's not what I'm concerned about. I want him getting smarter in the pocket. I want him not making some of the mistakes he made last year. Good receivers, yep, help him do that.
Yep.
And to be fair, a rookie receiver is not going to maybe necessarily help him do that at all.
Right.
So moving up in the draft in that department, I hear you on maybe not being a good idea. And this franchise is going to do, I think they've earned the benefit of the doubt in some ways. But again, going back to the Rodgers complaints and the complaints in this offseason, it is not without some concern.
Right. And I mean, you could maybe make the argument that maybe just the small sample size we have, of course, that maybe Jordan Love needs a little more help than Aaron Rodgers.
I wasn't going to say it, but
I mean, just right. it's a small sample size, and I'm not saying, oh, well, Jordan doesn't have it, get rid of him. I'm not saying that by any means at all, guys. But everyone's different. Favre could do it. Favre could do it with his athleticism and just rocket arm. Okay, Rodgers did it with his brains. Now, I'm not saying Jordan Love's an idiot, because he's not. You don't play professional football quarterback not being smart. But does he have a good enough mix of the two? Does he lean one way over the other, or the other way over one way? I don't know. I still say the sample size is pretty small on him. That right. What more do we want? Mm-hmm. Both years as a starter, he's made the playoffs.
Oh, yeah.
And every one of those games, even though he's 1-2 in them, they were all close games.
There's most of the teams in the league would give their quarterback today for Jordan Love.
Denver?
Yeah.
Well, maybe not
there's
Chicago anymore. But,
up until a year ago, absolutely.
Yeah, you get my point.
100%, yeah. Kev, so I like your points about the draft, too, about the offseason being a little bit of a, not as exciting, so it's hard to get excited about the draft. I hadn't thought about that. That's an interesting point. And I think, too, with that where they're picking, that comes into play, too. It's not a top five pick, so there's maybe not as that much excitement. But let's be honest, we're all going to be watching, and we'll be talking about it on that Friday's Playmakers.
Oh, for sure. I might even call in.
I hope you do. I hope you do. Kev, anything else before we let you go, man?
No, that's about it. Otherwise, good luck tomorrow in the morning, Michael, with your turkey hunt. And I got period three, so we'll see how it goes there.
I'm in zone three, but I had some pretty good luck this morning. I can sleep in.
Oh, you got one this morning. Okay,
he's full. He was full adult male, but a little on the light side, but very little fat on him, so he must have had a pretty hard winter. He must have gave it to me. I'll put it that way.
It happens.
Well, this time of year is always my favorite. I love getting up in the morning, and as soon as you hear that first gobble from the roost, that just puts the chill down your spine and ready to go.
The gobbles, the wood ducks, the woodpeckers, the owls, everything. It's beautiful. Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah.
Get up just to hear that.
No, it's
awesome.
Worth it. I'm telling you.
Awesome. Appreciate you, Kev. We'll talk to you soon, man.
All All right, you guys have a great night.
See you, buddy. You too. Real quick, before we go to break, I did want to touch on something that we did this morning on the morning show. We've got some programming realignment going on here at WFHR and WIRI. One of those things is our show Playmakers here, which we are very proud to be keeping, and we're able to do that thanks to a lot of the work done by Chuck and people at Civic, and certainly our sponsors, Quality Plus Printing, Family Natural Foods. We deeply appreciate.
For sure.
And our staff, our co-hosts, the people that put up with me three times a week, and of course you listeners who put up with me a lot more than that. We appreciate you.
Yeah, every one of you.
So with that, Playmakers is going to be moving, everybody. We're going to be moving it to 4 o'clock, and it'll be going over to WIRI 105.5. So starting up next Wednesday will actually be our first show over at the new studio, I believe, or we'll see where that goes. But regardless, we'll keep you up to date on that. We will be moving over to WIRI soon with this show. One of the things that we think we can do with this is certainly brought to new listeners. And that's always fun. That's always interesting. But we are able to go where the high school sports is being played, where the River Kings are being played. Michael and I were talking about it in our meeting the other day. We feel like we can be a tailgate for that, a pre-show for a lot of these things.
Of course.
So it really makes sense to bring it over there. And we hope that all you listeners will join us over there. And it's especially if you got the Civic Media app, it's just moving over to 105. Yeah. It's not that hard.
And maybe even get some more listeners out of it. Get your friends. I mean, sometimes not everyone can get the AM station, so I mean, I get how it is. So come on, join us over on the FM side, and let's have some fun.
Spread the word about the show. We appreciate you for doing that. Appreciate our callers and Family Natural Foods, Quality Plus Printing, sponsoring this hour. We'll be back to wrap up the show right here on WFHR. Welcome back to Playmakers here at WFHR. Hope Wednesday night is treating you good out there. Michael and James here with you. We're going to take you to the top of the hour. Get you ready for Nightlight with Pete Schwab. And shout out to Pete. Hope he has a good night. So, Michael, we'll pull the roulette wheel here. You want to talk a little more NFL draft, or you want to talk the NBA playoffs? Because I have a feeling you want to go NBA here.
Playoffs? Yeah, you're talking about playoffs?
If anything, so playoffs? We can mention that. before we get into that, I did want to just reference really quickly a congrats to the Badgers and Badger fans out there. They just landed their biggest recruit of the 2026 class. Hopkins, Ryan Hopkins, he is a native of South Carolina, had Wisconsin as his top board, and Wisconsin had him as their top recruit, so it worked out. Coming to Madtown. I'm looking forward to talking more about him as the spring game gets closer and we get to talk Badger football, which will be right here at WFHR, right where it belongs, and it has been for so long.
Yeah.
Let's talk a little NBA playoffs, Michael. And I always get excited about the playoffs, but oddly enough, for once, I can actually be a little excited, not because I think they're going to make a run, but the Bulls are actually in the playoffs. And that is exciting for me with the style of play that they're playing right now. They're playing up and down the court. Josh Giddey, Kobe White are just playing out of their minds right now. It's been a lot of fun. Now, I look at the Bucks, and I love Dame Lillard. Yep. Love that guy. Love that man on and off the court. Think he's a great athlete, great human being. Feel for him going through what he is right now. That is a competitor. He has been begging to be in this spot. And to have something, not even like a broken leg, but an injury like this, that you can't heal and work in the training room
takes
to get
time.
Better. I feel for him. At the same time, this might be the fire that this team needed, because Giannis has now, in recent history, it hasn't been that. We've seen this guy put this team on his back.
You ain't kidding.
And when you're the gazelle that he is, I wouldn't put wouldn't put anything against this team. And it's a championship team. I'm not making light of Indiana. That's a solid team. Tyrese Haliburton.
Or Boston or anybody.
Wisconsin's own Haliburton there. If he was on a different team, if he was on the Knicks, he'd be on every cereal box.
Okay. I watched him play against Spash his senior year, and when they won it at Oshkosh North, I watched him play against Spash at Wausau West, and boy, oh boy, I mean, that he's all that in a bag of chips. He is legit.
If either way, this series could go either way. I'm not even going to try to predict it, but what I am going to try to predict is seeing the Bucks, whether they win or lose, get a fire under them and really show something at this. I think especially because of they have more to lose than Indianapolis does.
Yeah.
Indy loses a first-round playoff, they're just bringing it right back again.
Yep.
You know, it's not like they're going to make some crazy moves or anything like
they
that.
They lose early. It's how many guys aren't coming back because they think the windows or the doors
with
closing.
With Milwaukee.
Yes, that's exactly what I meant there.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That's exactly. So I feel like we're going to see a lot here. Do they want to get to vacation, or do they want to try to make a run here?
The longer that series goes with the Pacers, the better the Bucks' chances.
Mm, yeah.
And I hate using the championship quote from a couple of years ago, the Bucks in six. I don't like keep using that, but if it's a Bucks in six, Bucks in seven against the Pacers, watch out, because then they're going to be getting healthy. They're going to be getting some of those guys back, and they're getting more gelled together here. You got to watch out for the Bucks. Like you're driving down the highway in November, you know, watch out for the Bucks. And that's great. And this is my time of year where, other than November, let's go Bucks.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I say that in my deer stand.
Sure,
it's come on Bucks.
Yeah.
I say that
it's
in November.
A little different.
Now I'll say, come on Bucks, let's go. Come on.
I'm looking forward to just the playoffs in general too, because there's so many. I especially these first rounds. They're so exciting. Anything can happen, and you're getting to see more and more of the all-star, more of the talent in the NBA. Really show you what the NBA's best version of it is, and this is it: the playoffs, where you have really the best of the best and really the greatest basketball players in the world going at it to see who is the best. The Lakers and Minnesota series, I mentioned this on Monday, really locked in on that one, just out of interest to see some of these athletes going head to head. And to see, like, are the Lakers, is it hype? Or can they actually do something? Because beating Minnesota, a team that was in the conference finals last year,
that'd be a step.
That would be an impressive step to me. But if they lose, I don't want to hear from them for at least a year or so.
Yes.
I really am worn out on the Lakers talk. Really worn out.
If the Bucks can't win it all, or OKC, I would love to see I would love to see Sam Hauser win another one.
Yeah, that'd be cool. That'd be cool.
I mean, I don't really like Boston sports, but I would like to see Hauser, the hometown boy, get one.
I have to say, outside of the local interest with Milwaukee, and I don't think Chicago's going to make a deep run, so I'm not even looking at that. I'm with you. I don't really have an interest. I would like to see something wild. I always like to see that, and I really want to see OKC do something.
That'd be cool.
Just so that we can... I mean, we've been talking about them for a couple of years now.
Yep, and then they run into Phoenix, or they run into San Antonio, or they run into the Lakers, or whatever.
If they don't do something this year, I don't want to hear any more hype. Not to say that they aren't going to be good for years to come.
Right.
It's a very young team.
Absolutely.
But quit crowning them and talking about them nonstop if they ain't going to do anything. I want to see them do something. And I think they could. They're a very deep team and a very good team.
Totally, buddy.
And I am a sucker for Golden State. I'll admit, I love Steph Curry.
Who doesn't?
I just love watching him play. So the more he stays in the playoffs, the longer I get to see him play.
Yeah.
That is no journalistic integrity on that one. I just can't wait.
I get you, man. Sometimes you got to be a fan, too.
Congrats to you again, brother. Very deserving. And be sure to check out Michael's work in the WFHR newsletter. Sign up for that. We got a new edition for you tomorrow showing up in your email box at noon. Get to WFHR.com and sign up, everybody. Have a great night, everyone.
This is locally grown radio. WFHR 1320 AM. W248 DE Wisconsin Rapids. And always streaming on the Civic Media app.